נמנע מוקשחדים בה נג'ן ימרנה ברשע רביך אילם דבא פולנה תדוב על הבעלה שרם אמנס יביר אסתם.
Moving to Vrindavan. One day, Krishna personally entered the hearts of the village leaders and inspired them. Upananda, Sunanda, and other senior men convened a town meeting to discuss the future of Vrindavan. With warm hearts, the people spoke to Brajaraj Nanda, "O King of Braja, we cannot understand the extent of your opulence. We have never seen a more fortunate person than you. You are the greatest among men. Your son delivers everyone from distress and lamentation. Since the time of his appearance, many seemingly sad and painful things have happened here in Vrindavan. Just after Krishna's birth, the Rakshasi Putana brought devastation to our village. Then the Shakatasura demon brought us severe distress. Then came that horrible hurricane wind demon Trinabharta, who tortured everyone. And the falling Arjuna trees almost destroyed us. We want to know the cause of all these bizarre events. Everyone experienced good fortune with Krishna's birth, and we personally know that your family dynasty is also completely auspicious. So by the accumulation of your good deeds, a plenary expansion of the Lord appeared as your very own son. We can only guess, therefore, that this place causes these difficulties, and not your illustrious son. Considering these facts, we conclude that the next year, we should leave this place and move to the forest of Vrindavan. Vrindavan is full of good qualities and always pleasing for all the seasons of the year. It is replete with luxuriant grasses to please the cows. Not only that, but it is said that for one who attains Vrindavan, the wealth of the three worlds seems as insignificant as a piece of straw. The goddess of fortune eternally resides there, personally serving all the residents. Govardhan Hill, which always increases the health of the cows, also stands there. O learned one, if you approve this proposal, then please satisfy us by taking us to Vrindavan. Then the king, whose consciousness is totally pure, replied to the gopas, "You should understand that I am personally very attached to this Brahadvana, Mahavana. But if you find defects here, then for your sake, I think we should give up this place and immediately move to Vrindavan." This suggestion filled everyone's heart with joy. In great excitement, they ordered their families to prepare the bullock carts for the journey. The groups of carts, fully loaded with village folk and their paraphernalia, looked very beautiful. Keeping the cows in front, they lined up the carts in preparation to leave. As mature bull elephants can have four tusks, the bullocks had different numbers of teeth depending on their ages. The youngest bullocks had four teeth, whereas the elder bullocks had up to nine. The bullocks had gold-plated horns shining like the peaks of Mount Sumeru. The rounded and nicely shaped jawbones of the bullocks looked attractive. As a music teacher dances with dexterous steps, the bullocks move gracefully on their splendid hooves. As there are four parts to a poem, similarly, these bullocks had four legs. Nanda Maharaj had 900,000 white cows in his herd. The restless natures of the bullocks indicated the depth of their intelligence. Though yoked to the carts, they were not tied through their noses. Attractive necklaces of sweet-sounding bells hung from their necks. Multicolored canopies topped the carts. These canopies had many designs and colors like green, brick red, yellow, white, red, and pale yellow. Colorful curtains made of costly jute covered the sides. Flags fluttered above the golden domes atop the carts. The flags looked like wonderfully designed tongues extending to taste the rays of the sun. The splendidly decorated carts mocked the flower airplanes of the demigods. Indeed, these bullock carts established a new standard of excellence amongst Kamayansis. Just as there is no fault in being attached to sadhus, the carts were faultless in construction and beautiful to behold. As devotees become beautiful by engaging in Krishna's service, The chakras above the carts looked as beautiful as chakravaka birds floating in a lake. As the sons of Guvera are attached to residing in his capital city of Alakapuri, similarly, the wood yokes were attached to the carts. The carts held many gorgeous pots made of gold, silver, brass, bell metal, and copper. Extending from Brihadvana, Mahavana, to Vrindavan, the long line of cows and bullocks looked like separate branches of the Jamuna River. From a distance, it appeared that this long line of moving cows was standing still. The people thought, perhaps the Ganga has appeared here to speak privately with the Yamuna. Or maybe the unlimited waves from the milk ocean have come here to take the dust of Vrindavan. Or has Anantashesh renounced his service as Narayana's bed to come to see Vrindavan? Could we be seeing the expanded hood of the King of Snakes? Or it is a necklace of pearls decorating the Mother Earth? The long line of carts topped with glittering golden domes and multicolored flags flapping in the wind looked like a vast wall containing many tall golden doors surrounding a city palace. They looked like a small mountain range appearing as the offspring of Mount Kailash, Mount Sumeru, and the Himalayas coming to play with the Yamuna. Taking compassion on this tiny mountain chain, Indra withheld his anger and refrained from cutting off their wings with his thunderbolt. The furrows left in the earth by the wheels of the carts looked like the walls of a castle rising in the air but having no support. One time, Mother Bhumi took the form of a cow to beg Krishna to remove the distress she felt from the burden of demoniac kings. It seemed that Mother Earth had again appeared in her original form as a cloud of dust. Rising in the sky above the carts, she seemed to be reaching for Brahmaloka. In this way, people viewed the long line of bullock carts moving towards Vrindavan. Many coward men simultaneously shouted orders to different people. All the words merged into a mass of indiscernible noise. Except with hand gestures, communication was impossible in the clamor. The combined vibrations of carts, people, drums, and the bellowing of cows silenced all other sounds. At last, all those sounds merged quietly within the ethereal element. Learned men proclaim that sound is a byproduct of ether. Boarding their cart, Yashoda and Rohini appeared like two valuable jewels. The cart itself looked like a mountain cave, enacting a pastime of displaying its storehouse of costly jewels in the form of these two lovely ladies. Their sons, Krishna and Balaram, shone as the embodiments of benediction for the three worlds. With their all-auspicious sons sitting on their laps, the two mothers achieved all perfection and looked very beautiful at the same time. Yashoda and Rohini simultaneously glorified Krishna. From a distance, it seemed that they were quarreling. Hundreds of armed sentinels stood guard around the carts. When the bullock procession left Mahavana, it looked like the personified wealth of the capital had suddenly risen to touch the sky. It seemed that the goddess of the city personally led the way to beautify the journey. All that was left of the capital was the land. At that time, the advance party of Nanda Maharaj returned from Vrindavan to join the procession. Since such a vast party could not cross the Yamuna before sunset, they decided to camp on the banks of the river. The elderly coward men, even without receiving Vrajaraj Nanda's order, erected their tents and prepared for the night. Invisibly, the goddess of the city helped everyone quickly establish his habitat. Please hear about that splendid city which arose on the bank of the Yamuna. A kaleidoscope of colorful tent canopies covered the 10 directions. The coward men expertly erected walls made of cloth to surround that temporary city of tents. As in an ordinary city, they made four pathways bisecting the four directions. They also established footpaths and marketplaces to facilitate the residents. While sitting under the evening sky, chewing their cud, the numerous white cows looked like a collection of soothing moon rays or a small lake of milk. As more and more cows sat amongst them, that lake expanded to appear like an ocean of milk. Sunanda, Upananda, and other respected relatives met and conversed with Nanda in his tent. Afterwards, they went to their own tents. Meanwhile, they unloaded all the necessary items from the carts. After unyoking the bulls, the caretakers fed them and let them rest. The servants busied themselves buying and selling different products, while the kitchen helpers cleaned and prepared for cooking. After spending 12 hours moving across the sky, the weary sun god happily met with his wife in the form of the westerly direction. Birds chirped excitedly and soared through the sky before securing themselves in their nests for the night. The peacocks flew up to perch in the treetops. Due to frolicking all day, the deer felt tired and walked lazily along the Jamuna. Intoxicated honeybees trapped themselves in closing lotus flowers. As a woman conceals herself before running off for a lover's tryst, the presiding deities of the directions covered their faces with the blue veil of darkness. Night-blooming red and white lotuses welcomed the evening with blissful smiles. Separated from their lovers, the Chakravaka birds wailed piteously. As the day's heat abated and evening approached, no one could clearly distinguish the forms of the men or the cows. Under the dim light of the twinkling stars, the shadows of the cows appeared to be fat and short, while those of men looked long and tall. As the starlight increased, the shadows of the humans grew larger and larger. Just as a charitable man distributes his compassion to one and all, the many lamps in the campsite diffused their light in all directions. Posted sentries guarded all the roads. The natural beauty of the evening appeared like a goddess eager to serve Sri Krishna. Satisfied by eating their fill and seeing their calves standing nearby, the cows stood peacefully while the coward men milked them. The milking of so many cows produced a tremendous sound that resembled the vibration created at the time of churning the ocean of milk. Krishna derived great pleasure from hearing that beautiful, sweet, deep sound. While milking the cows, the gopas loudly called their names, "Hey, hey, Stavali, Stavali," and the cows responded by mooing. The men affectionately fondled and caressed the cows as they gathered around them. After taking their evening meal, the Brajabasis relaxed and happily wandered about the campsite. The sentries showed off their techniques for staying awake through the night. Seeing this, the Brajabasis felt confident of their expertise, so they returned to their tents for a peaceful rest. 3 hours before sunrise, the wives of the gopas woke up, bathed, dressed in clean cloth, and performed Vastu Puja. They then churned butter while singing many enchanting songs glorifying Krishna. The sound of the gopis' jeweled bangles and ankle bells blended harmoniously with the deep, melodious sound emanating from the large churning pots. That auspicious vibration easily removed all misfortune from the universe. The directions amplified that sound by responding with their echoes. Considering it improper to spend any more time with their husbands, the demigoddesses woke up at once. They then listened with rapt attention to the sweet sound of the gopis churning butter. As the sun rose, everyone prepared to cross the Yamuna River, the daughter of the sun god. Following Brajaraja Nanda's order, the gopis called the cows by making the sound, "Hey, hey!" Mooing in response, the cows entered the water. As they swam across the Yamuna, the cows exhaled strong breaths of air. The heavy, soaked tails of the cows hung motionless under the water. Keeping their heads and humps above the water, they flowed with the currents and finally reached the Yamuna's opposite shore. The hornless, light-bodied calves felt great happiness as they quickly swam across the river. Crossing from all directions in front of their mothers, the calves reached the opposite shore. The gopas carried the newborn calves across the Yamuna by hanging them around their necks and holding their soft legs with their left arms while using their right arms to swim. The mothers of the calves followed behind, crying anxiously. The tall humps on the backs of the mature bulls made waves as they moved through the Yamuna. As if in an angry mood, the bulls turned their necks and butted these successive waves with their horns. A captivating scene manifested there. Despite the strong current, The bulls held their heads high and straight, breathing deeply, and quickly crossed the Yamuna. All the innumerable cows made it safely across the Yamuna, but they appeared exhausted from the journey, so they stood in rows on the Yamuna's sandy banks, which looked as white as transparent camphor dust. The groups of white cows beside the Yamuna looked as attractive as the river Jhanavi. The boats plying on the water looked like the Nagapatnis rising up from the Patala Loka to playfully extend their jewel-bedecked hoods above the Yamuna. It seemed that from the day the Brajavasis arrived in Vrindavan, Vishwakarma, the architect of the demigods, had made all arrangements to make them happy. The beautiful clear sky looked like a stream of the Ganga meeting the Yamuna. Various aquatics sported in the Yamuna. Many highly decorated golden boats exhibiting the epitome of artistic craftsmanship cruised along the Yamuna. The best among those boats had an ornamental cabin topped with beautiful flags gently flapping in the breeze. Krishna and Yashoda, Rohini and their maidservants boarded that boat. Krishna enjoyed watching the rows of small waves in the Yamuna. The wonderful effulgence of Krishna's body enhanced the beauty of Yamuna and made it look like a sparkling gem. Leaving Yashoda's side, Krishna leaned over the edge of the boat. While supporting himself with his left hand, Krishna stretched his right hand under the water to touch the bottom of the boat. Anticipating some danger, the two mothers tried unsuccessfully to stop Krishna from his frivolous play. With great concern, Nanda boarded the same boat, quickly picked up Krishna and sat him on his lap. Undisturbed, the boatmen continued rowing steadily across the Yamuna. The remaining men and their families boarded other boats and happily crossed the river Yamuna. After ferrying all the people, the boatmen used boarding platforms to load all the bullock carts and cross the river again. Brajaraj Nanda satisfied the boatmen with valuable clothes and ornaments.